is.
Recognized as one of the top 10 media influencers of real estate, this is Freed on Business. And your host, Jim Freed.
Oh, thank you, Wanda, as always. And we're here with another influencer in real estate. He's John Chang. He's the Senior Vice President, National Director of Research Services for Marcus & Millichap Real Estate Investment Services. He's based out in California. Welcome to the show, John.
Hey, Jim. It's nice to be here.
Oh, listen, it's great to have you. How's it out on the left coast today?
It's beautiful. It's sunny. It's a great day out here.
It's always a great day here in Florida as well. Hey, listen, why don't we get started by setting the table? Tell me a little bit about yourself and Marcus & Millichap.
Sure. So let me start in with Marcus & Millichap, which is a brokerage company that helps investors buy and sell commercial real estate all over the North America. We're in U.S. and Canada. And really the key mission that we're trying to do to accomplish is help investors make better informed decisions so that they can create and preserve wealth. And we're working in all types of investment property, you know, apartments, retail, office, industrial, hotels, self-storage, seniors housing, medical office, manufactured housing parks. Pretty much anything that's an investment type of property is something that our 2,000 salespeople across the country can help people with. As far as myself, I started in commercial real estate in the mid-90s when Marcus & Millichap launched a research services team. And basically what we're trying to do is gather information from all over the country and all these different data sources and translate it into something usable by investors. And we do that through reports and analyses and webcasts and speaking engagements. And we make all of that information available to our clients and investors all over the country free of charge through our website.
Wow. So really what you do is you take all that data that's out there and you turn it into information people can use, and you know where to look and you know how to interpret it.
Yeah, exactly. I got a whole team of analysts and economists over here, and we sit down and we really try to look behind the numbers, right? There's so much data out there today and information that investors can tap into. What we're really trying to do is translate that into something that makes sense. We're trying to give you the story of why things are changing, not just give you the numbers. We're trying to talk about how certain aspects in a local market are going to evolve and what that does to the supply and demand for different types of real estate assets in those different metro areas.
You know, the fundamentals of real estate are really about blocking and tackling. They're really easy to figure out. They're always about finding places where you've got strong employment growth and strong population growth. What are some metros that you guys see coming along the way that have strong employment and or population growth, and why are those metros growing?
You know, that's actually probably the number one question I get from investors when I'm speaking at conferences and traveling around is really tied to where should I be looking, right? There's a lot of different dimensions out there. And in general, we're seeing this great movement in both in terms of population migration as well as job creation moving south and west across the country. So we're seeing markets, you know, including Orlando, Southeast Florida, Tampa, Atlanta, Charlotte, Nashville, all of Texas, Phoenix and Las Vegas, Salt Lake City is another one, that are doing very well. They're adding a lot of people there and creating a lot of jobs. In terms of why, there's a variety of factors. And as we were talking about earlier, the weather is certainly a key ingredient. And then tax structure plays into it as well. So we're seeing a lot of favorable trends. But one of the things that we think is happening that's very interesting is that the unemployment rate has fallen so low. It's down to 3.8%. And at this point, we have over 7 million job openings in the country and only just over 6 million people looking for work. So we have a labor shortage. And because of that, companies who used to try to recruit and bring people back to their headquarters to work, the companies are now really looking at where are the people, where do they want to live, where is it more affordable, where's a great cost structure for people to enjoy their lives, and they're putting more business opportunities and offices into those metros in order to employ people. So rather than trying to drag everybody into, you know, Chicago or New York, a lot of companies are moving to Dallas or Austin or Orlando, for that matter, and opening offices there to tap that local labor force that is so hard to recruit these days.
Wow, that's actually a fabulous insight. And I've got to believe that that impacts every aspect of the real estate business. How does it act? How is this impacting the performance of real estate?
Well, it's really been positive. You see, when you get that much job creation, so for example, Orlando, I love Orlando right now because their job growth is at 3.6%. That's the fastest pace of growth in the country. They're adding about 45,000 jobs over the last year. They have some great population movement. And so Orlando real estate is tightening up quite a bit. In fact, like apartment vacancy rates are down under 4% in Orlando right now. And you can see this demand drivers really pushing there. We're seeing a lot more construction going in there as well. So you're going to have the supply side moving as much as you see the demand drivers. But it's really creating a lot of unique opportunities for investors out there because there's so much going on. Now, if you look at another market, say Dallas, which has been going, it's been on fire for over 10 years now. They're adding over 100,000 jobs every year. They have some huge employment growth, but they have massive construction offsetting that. So just to put it in perspective, last year, about 23,000 new apartments were built in the Dallas metro. Actually, almost 24,000. But almost all of those got filled, right? So your vacancy rate in Dallas is in the mid 5% range, and it's just been going crazy. It's been so strong. But you have this parity between supply and demand for apartments in Dallas, and you see that happening across all the different sectors, whether you're looking at office or industrial. You're seeing all of this momentum come together, and builders and developers have been racing to put new supply into some of these markets to keep up with that demand.
You know, we've really seen a circumstance in my 35 years in real estate that we haven't seen before, and that's that usually you're going to see an up and down, an up and down, an up and down in the different markets, call it a market cycle. Used to be, they used to say it was all at the same time. Now they recognize that each product type has a different market cycle. But overall and in general, we've been in a 10-year economic expansion that's just been, you know, is now a record. I don't want to ask you how long you think this is going to go on. What I'd rather ask is what kind of strategy should an investor have to have in place should they think that they need to be playing some defense?
Well, diversification is a big piece of it. And it's not just different markets. It's different property types. So if you think about what's happened a while ago when we have hurricanes in Florida, right? If you have all your eggs in that basket, you're risking having all of your assets be hit at one time. Likewise, if you're focused entirely on just one property type, you may hit a situation where you have a hard time filling all of your units or all of your space because of what's happening in a specific segment of the market. For example, when the price of oil dropped, investors in Houston face some real challenges there, especially office space in the tech corridor. So if you're lined up all with all of your investments in one market or one particular property type, you face a lot of risk. And if you can diversify that and get it out into other markets or other property types, you can balance your portfolio and your risk of real estate a lot better and really open up some different opportunities as well.
Is that possible for some of the smaller real estate investors? How big do you recommend somebody have an equity portfolio to really be a able to geographically diversify?
You know, it's really not that significant in the realm of commercial real estate investment. Even a small to mid-sized private investor, maybe with, you know, $2 or $3 million of assets that they control, could get into a diversification opportunity, especially if they're using leverage. They may have, initially, they may focus in one metro, and then as they build equity in some of those assets, they can turn them over and re-leverage. We have interest rates that just came back down again, so it's a great opportunity to do that. And there's a lot of people who've built up equity over the last 10 years. 12 years even, that can be leveraged and put back to work. So even a mid-sized private investor, maybe with a few assets in one market or two markets, may look at some different options across different property types or even markets.
John, this has been great. I still haven't had a chance to ask you about the different, you know, go deep dive on different product types, things to watch that are coming up. Do you have time to spend another segment with us, another few minutes?
Yeah, I'd love to. That sounds great.
Oh, awesome. Well, listen, Wanda's going to take it away. We're going to have one more segment. We're going to talk to all about all kinds of good real estate investing stuff with John. John is the Senior VP of the National Director of Research Services for Marcus & Millichap. I want to thank our friends at Marcus & Millichap for allowing John to appear on our show. John, thanks for sticking with us. Everybody, we'll be right back with more from John as soon as Wanda gets her music up.
I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. But I gotta think twice before I give my heart away. And I know all the games you play because I play them too. Oh, but I need some time off from that emotion.
Oh, you're having fun today, aren't you, Wanda?
You know the thing about this George Michael album that I love so much? It looks like he's smelling his armpit. If you look at the cover, it just looks like he's smelling his armpit. But it's kind of sexy, armpit smelling. It's George Michael.
It's George Michael. Hey, you know, but everybody, we're not talking armpits here. We're talking cars.
No.
We're talking cars. Hey, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, why'd you bring up an armpit of all things?
Because I'm looking at George Michael.
Oh, my God. But can ladies see other things when they look at George Michael?
Well, so do guys. But.
Okay, stop it. Hey, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. You know, I can't wait to go up there. I love the Audi store up there. It was great. And down in Key West, we're going, Wanda. Down in Key West, they've got them all. What do they all have in common? Well, they're all great cars, and they come with the Warren Henry Advantage. Always. I started to go ahead of myself. What's the Warren Henry Advantage? You get complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and of course, that personal assistant that you get for 4 years that my mom continues to drive crazy. So you can call that person for anything, anytime, by the way. You should join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best price. Always the best service. Of course, always Warren Henry.
Jim Fried and Wanda Miles.
You've heard of Grubhub, DoorDash, and Bite Squad. Now there's the newest, most convenient food delivery service ever, Ambulance. Ambulance not only delivers high-sodium, high-fat content fast food to people who never want to leave their sofa, they wait around for the impending heart attack and take you to the hospital.
After my 4 cheeseburgers, 3 orders of fries, and 2 milkshakes, I had a massive coronary. They got me to the hospital, got me released in 2 hours. I was back home that night binge-watching Netflix with a dozen tacos.
We deliver fast food to you and you to the hospital fast.
Fast.
We are an ambulance.
On 880, the
service.
Biz.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome service.
Oh, yeah.
We got
better than Grubhub.
All right.
That's great. That's just absolutely great. And hey, if you need real estate capital, give me a call. You heard John talk about all the equity buildup. I can help you pull some of that equity out. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. We're going to go fast, Wanda. Why? Because when you call me,
it's all about you.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
We're back. We're on with John Chang. He's the Senior Vice President and National Director of Research Services for Marcus & Millichap. I want to thank our friends at Marcus & Millichap for letting John be on our show. And John, heads up, we've only got about 6 minutes, so you're going to do the lightning round.
Right on.
All right. I'm going to give you a product type. You're going to tell me what you think, and I want to make sure. I want to start off with retail. What the heck? Retail evolving. Tell me more about retail.
You know, retail has been hit with bad headlines, right? We have retail apocalypse. People are talking about Sears closing, Toys R Us, and all of these different well-known brands that are closing down. But what they're not talking about is a reinvention of the sector.
Yes.
We see a lot of retailers that were started out on the internet and are now filling space in retail centers. We see growth in restaurants. We see growth in services and health clubs and entertainment. So on one hand, you have all this bad news, which is really hurting sentiment for retail. But on the other side of the equation, if you just take away all the news headlines and look at the numbers and the math, retail's doing very, very well. You get vacancy rates for multi-tenant retail centers about 6% right now on a national average, which is on par with where we were at the height of the last cycle in 2007. When you look at the rents, they're back up to where they were before the recession. Everything's pretty much recovered and back in alignment with where it was, and we can see a lot of growth potential because consumption's up and people have money in their pockets due to wage growth and a good job climate.
Yeah, plus it's a place where people come together and have fun, for crying out loud. That's what they're really looking for.
It's been amazing. I went to a conference and I talked to a lot of new ideas in terms of restaurants and entertainment and activities, and really retail center is transforming fantastic locations into a destination for engaging with other people. And it's growing and it's evolving. It's moving past shopping for product, and it's really moving more towards connecting between different people.
That's tremendous. Let's talk about connecting with different people at work. What's going on with office? And boy, is that changing.
Yeah, office has been on this kind of really slow trend of improvement. It gets better and better each year, but it's not moving dramatically. And that's because people aren't working and using space the way they used to. There's a lot more interactive and collaborative space being built, and there's more people telecommuting. So office demand has been slower to grow than we would have thought. But the good news is that development has been very slow as well. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of companies that are moving office locations to where the people are. So if you look specifically at unique submarkets, especially walkable suburban office, where they're surrounded by retail and there's housing in the area, those are doing particularly well. And that's a great entry point of investments for private investors in particular, because a lot of the times they tend to be smaller properties that just happen to be in a very good location, and they're doing very well.
Wow. You should come here and watch Wynwood grow. I mean, Wynwood has started out as a bunch of warehouses, and now they're bringing retail and residential and then office and hotel. It's just amazing to watch it come out of nowhere. We've only got a couple minutes left. Throw a little something at self-storage. Everybody loves that for investors. What do you think about self-storage?
Self-storage has had a huge wave of construction over the last couple of years, but it's starting to pull back because construction costs have risen dramatically and construction lending has tightened. So we're still seeing a little bit of upward pressure on vacancy rates because of that construction, but it's one of those things where if you know the local market, you have a big advantage. If you know where those new facilities are coming in, you can move around those and invest into properties that are not going to be impacted by that new construction nearly as much. It's really a smaller property type, but it's doing very well. We're seeing a lot of investors sell out of apartments at very low cap rates and move into self-storage because it has has less management requirement, and it's generating a much stronger yield.
Well, John, we only have 3 minutes left, so I'm going to skip the other product types. I know you guys are the deans of the apartment stuff. We hit apartments pretty hard. I really want to talk about what you see as Miami's place in the market. We only got, like I said, about a minute, minute and a half. Then we're going to need to wrap up, so you're going to have to come back.
Fantastic. You know, Miami's been doing really well. It kind of saw a good wave when South America, the South American economies were doing particularly well. And then they retreated a little bit, and South Florida, Southeast Florida, eased a little bit. So we're still seeing good population growth. We're still seeing good job creation. But our real estate cycle there has started to shift over a little bit. It has the potential that it could turn back around, and it hasn't gotten too soft. It's really eased up a little bit from the hefty acceleration we were seeing earlier, but it's still looking pretty good.
I need you to come here and share your data with me. You're talking a little bit of condo overhang, but the market down here is absolutely white hot in virtually every segment. We need to talk off the air, John.
You bet.
Oh, my God. You're terrific. I loved having you on the show. How'd we do, Wanda?
You did wonderful. Now wrap it up.
Okay, I'm wrapping it up. John, gotta have you back. Thanks to you and the team for putting John on. We had John Chang. He's the Senior VP and National Director of Research Services for Marcus & Millichap, making me smarter. We also talked about doggy dating with Wanda.
Thank you.
All right. Now, I want everybody to, first of all, I want to give a shout out to the first responders. I did say thank you to John, didn't I?
Thank him again, yes.
John, thank you, thank you. All right. Hey, I want to give a shout-out to the first responders. Thanks for listening. I want to thank our sponsors, Warren Henry Automotive, Carlson Integrated, the NFL Alumni Association, Turkel Brands, the Bergstrom Center for Real Estate Studies. But above all, I want to thank you, my listener. That is correct. Without you, my listener, I wouldn't have a radio show. Thank you so much for giving me your attention today and sharing a couple of laughs with Wanda and I, and maybe learning something that'll help you get along in life. Please go to our Facebook page and like our show and tell your friends. Join our community. Give us feedback and comments. Tell us who you want to hear from. Tweet at Jim Fried at Fried on Business. Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, website. Thank you, Becca, for doing the website. If you missed today's show, it's going to be on our webpage, freedombusiness.com, ASAP. This is Jim Fried for Fried
on. And back on Tuesday at 6 o'clock.
That's right. We're all rebroadcast on Tuesdays at 6. Thank you, Wanda. This is Jim Fried for Fried on Business. Look for us at 8 on. Oh, look for us on 8:80 a.m. next Thursday at 6. Why? Because I just love doing this. Oh, it's going to be a great show. Remember, the person wants to do something finds a way, the other finds an excuse. Now go out there and make it happen.
Jim Fried and Wanda Miles.
I can tell you from experience, the effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is.